Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, health, and current events. Tonight, we have a panel discussion on the topic of self-love with some amazing guests that I'm very excited about bringing on in a few. Speaking of self-love, I just got my vaccine a couple weeks ago, and I'm actually feeling really good. I'm getting my second one next week. You know, it's not foolproof, guys, but it makes me feel good that I have that extra layer of protection against this crazy coronavirus. I think it's progress. Just saying. Really want to get back on our feet again, get back to somewhat of a normal world, whatever that is. So I'm excited that I took that step and encourage everybody to, you know, make their own decision on that. But I'm feeling good about it. Super excited about tonight's show. But first, as always, we got a few announcements, and then it's shout-out time for those of you that know my format. So first and foremost, I want to give my condolences regarding the unexpected passing of the marvelous Marvin Hagler, one of the best, greatest boxers of all time, only 66 years old, passing away in his New Hampshire home. He had 67 fights and only 3 losses. He's a middleweight champion, fought southpaw. He always fought with that chip on his shoulder. He was really known for defeating Roberto Duran and also stopping Thomas Hearns in a fight that lasted less than 8 minutes. And then, no disrespect, because I love Sugar Ray Leonard. I got to meet him, actually, at Mike Tyson's premiere. He is amazing and a legend as well. But, you know, a couple years later, after, you know, Tommy Hearns, he lost by decision to Sugar Ray Leonard in 1987 that he claims was stolen by the judges, you know, and it left him so upset that he never fought again after defending his title, actually 12 times prior. He's always going to be known and a champion to all, a boxing legend, and one of the greatest boxers of all time, my opinion, and I know many others out there. May you rest in peace, marvelous Marvin Hagler. Next shout-out, I hope that everybody had a happy St. Patrick's Day, and everybody celebrated safely. I don't know about you guys. We had a leprechaun actually visit our home. He didn't leave any gold, so I'm a little disappointed. He just left a little bit of glitter, you know, to show that he was in the house. And my daughter got a real kick out of that. She actually made a trap, and he tricked her. He took some stuff from her trap and left her some prizes, though, so she was actually – a little bit happy about that. Speaking of my daughter and all the March babies out there, big shout out to my daughter, Brianna. My baby, I cannot believe it. She's 7 years old. She's going to turn 8 in just a couple weeks. Like, it's crazy to me just to look at her grow so fast right before my very eyes. Happy birthday, beautiful Brianna. Mommy's so proud of you. She just made honor roll. She just keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep doing good. I'm so proud of you doing such an amazing job, even during this crazy time of COVID. We make it work, right? We always make it work. Next shout out goes to my friend. Happy birthday, Antonio McKee, a.k.a. Mandingo, UFC fighter and coach. He's been on my show several times. Happy birthday, buddy. Also, Nate the Great, who's been on my show several times as well out of Florida. He's doing big things. We're going to have him back on to release his single on my show soon. Happy birthday. Age ain't nothing but a number. Also, big shout-out to Bailey out there in Washington, my fam, and Don Rome, and Stacy Follett out there in Oregon, and Gary Waxbaum, all my folks from high school. Happy birthday. Also, Vincent Singletary, look forward to having you on my show. You don't know it yet, but I'm definitely going to have you on my show to talk some fitness. Happy birthday. Also to Argyle in Mexico and George Hill over there in Ventura. Got to get out there to visit you and Deborah here soon. Also, happy birthday to my Bay Area girls, Mary Jane and Deanna, and also my cousin Kim out there in the Bay, and my beautiful and very, very intelligent friend, Lourdes. She's been on my show as well. Happy birthday. And last but not least, big shout out to Dr. Stella Monica Mpende, who is about to join us in a few. Happy birthday, my friend. I'm going to say it to you now, and I'm going to say it to you in a few when I talk to you. But anyway, I'm very, very excited to kick off this show. I want to, last but not least, give a brief shout out and live announcement of an onboarding new show titled Movie Talk from a Fan Perspective that's actually going to be on our eWater Radio platform soon. I'm going to go ahead and bring Janine on, who is the host of this show. Let's see, Janine, she's been an entertainment journalist and written for Essence, Billboard, Huffington Post, YourWeb, and many more. Boy, that's a lot. Janine, you are on the air. Are you there? Let's see, Janine. Janine, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the TKL radio show. I'm really appreciative.
Absolutely. Welcome to the eWater family. This is exciting, right?
It is absolutely exciting because this is actually my second time being part of the eWater radio family with my show. It's actually called the Words on Flick show, and it is movie talk from a fan perspective, and that's perfectly fine. It's called Words on Flicks, which is the same title of my blog that I started a few years ago. So the first time that I did the Words on Flicks podcast show, I did it, I would say, from 2018 to 2019, and I was doing it weekly, and I had a great number of guests, and then I thought, I need a break. You know what I mean? And then the break turned out to be more than a year, which I didn't really expect. So I'm really excited to be back. The show premieres this Sunday, March 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm on the East Coast, so that means 12 noon on the West Coast. I did live in Los Angeles for many years, so I have many Los Angeles friends and connections. But now I'm back on the East Coast and talking about movies.
That is so awesome. I love it. I'm definitely excited about your show and want to check it out because I am a huge movie buff. Netflix has been my jam lately. Amazon Prime, I've been really kind of exploring the whole what do you call that? These other platforms of movies, being able to kind of dig into those. And that's been my jam every weekend. We're at home. What better time to catch up on all those great movies that we've missed out on? you know, and catch up on some of those TV shows. But I love hearing what you're doing, and I can't wait to listen in. How can people, what days did you say that it's going to get air and time again?
Okay, so it's Sunday at 3 p.m. Okay. Eastern, 12 noon on Pacific time. I'm doing it once a month. So this is going to be interesting because, as you said, like, we're home now because of the pandemic. COVID-19 has forced us to spend a lot more time at home. We need our entertainment, and we need it not just for entertainment, inspiration, infotainment, but we need it for stress relief, Tammy. I mean, I know you do a lot about health and fitness and self-care. This is part of our self-care. We need this escape to be able to go into these other worlds and enjoy these stories. And, of course, now because of the pandemic, there's so much more content being pumped out. Like, I can't even keep up with everything that comes out, and I'm trying. But there's much more to talk about, you know. And we know that movies are entertainment, but they do impact us emotionally. They do educate. So even when we have movies that are seemingly innocuous, that are just fantasy, you know, they're still teaching us something about a particular issue. They're enforcing a particular idea or ideal, even if it's just believe in yourself. Love conquers all. Mm-hmm. You can do anything. Look how people survive unbelievable odds. When you look at movies from the past, you're looking into a window about the culture. Like, I love old movies. What was happening in the 1940s? What was happening in the 1930s? How has our culture changed? And we know it's changed a lot. And even now we have to deal with cancel culture, where some movies are being taken off the air, never to be seen again, because they had problematic approaches to how women were treated, how people of color were treated, how gay people were treated. I'm not sure I'm entirely in favor of things being taken off forever and never being seen, but we do have to have some awareness about it. So all of this are these things that I'm going to be talking about on Words on Flicks.
That's very interesting. I would love to hear people call in and give their perspective on that topic. That's a really interesting topic. And yeah, I love the tie-in with our theme tonight, which is self-love. You know, one of my escapes, personally, one of my escapes to just life, you know, because we got to escape, right? To love ourselves, we have to escape sometimes and go into a different world and sometimes other people's world, right? And you look at these movies, and I just did that. Actually, last night, I watched a movie called Otherhood. Have you ever heard of that? Otherhood.
I have. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, it's like Motherhood, but it's Otherhood. Angela Bassett's in it. I mean, it's a fabulous movie. One of the ladies from Saturday Night Live is on it. It was just a fabulous movie. And Felicity Huffman. Felicity Huffman.
Oh.
Who I actually was in a TV show, Desperate Housewives. I actually was in a featured scene with Felicity Huffman and had a chance to bond with her. I was her child care provider, so I was always holding her child, and it's kind of cool on the show.
Wow.
But it was a great movie, Otherhood. Just, you know, one to see. As a mom, I could relate, you know, just to – but the mothers in this show were just bitter because every Mother's Day, their sons forgot about them. So they decided to go ahead and make a trip to New York and visit their sons. Didn't matter what they were doing, they just got all up in the business. And it was comedy.
I have heard about it, and I will have to check it out. And I think that's interesting because both are great actors, and it's nice to see Felicity Huffman kind of bounce back because she had, you know, a lot of personal trouble over this college scandal thing. And really, that was motivated by her desire to be a good mother. Now, that got twisted around, but, I mean, you have to, sometimes you have to separate when you watch movies the artist from the art. And that's an ongoing discussion because I used to be a big fan of Woody Allen films. I'm originally from New York. I have all that New York culture. You know, I came of age in the 70s and 80s when Woody Allen was really popular. And now we have to contend with the fact that, you know, he's been outed as a sexual abuser. And so how do we cope with that? And he's not the only one. You know, there are numerous actors, actresses, directors who have had scandal in their lives. So how do we just cancel their movies, cancel their art, or do we just have to look at them through a new lens? Oh, excuse me.
I think sometimes, that's a good question. I think sometimes are you okay? Don't make me have to do the Heimlich. You're alone now.
Just choking on my own enthusiasm over here.
I heard that. But, yeah, I think we have to separate. A lot of people can't do that, though. A lot of people can't separate the artist from the art form itself. Me, I don't know. I can do that. I can overlook it sometimes. I'll say sometimes. Actually, I'm guilty of that, too, because – I've actually met Woody Allen and a few other folks, and I've had some situations with different people, let's just put it that way, out there in the industry that it was disappointing because you meet somebody and you're excited to meet them, and you feel like, I remember when I met Queen Latifah, and I was like, what's up, Queen? How you doing? Like, I knew her, but she had no clue who I was, but she was so nice. She was like, she played it off like, okay, this girl knows me from TV, but I have no clue who she is, but I'm going to make her feel good. And she was super cool. But then you meet some other celebrities who are not, you catch them at a bad time, or they're just not very nice people. They let things go to their head, but they portray something different in film. So it is, that is a very interesting concept. I can't wait to listen to your show. I think there's so many, I can see so many different things that you can, that you're going to be able to talk about. That you already mentioned here.
Yeah, there's,
how can people,
there's so many issues and so many different themes that we can talk about. And it's just kind of casual. You know, I'll have a theme to each show, whether it's around a particular actor or director, whether we're just, I'll get a guest on and we'll just shoot back and forth. What do you think of this movie? What do you think of that movie? What was your reaction? Or, you know, like next month, April, this month is Women's History Month. Next month is going to be Jazz Appreciation Month. So there's always themes around which we can spin movies. And it's not just contemporary movies. It's old movies, too, because I'm a fan of old movies. So there's so much to talk about. And I'm excited to be back in the group of podcasts. So I really appreciate you having me on. So maybe you can come on and talk about your experience in the entertainment world, because I was doing music. You were obviously doing stuff from on the sets and the TV shows and everything.
Yeah, I've done both, actually. I've got 75 songs recorded, and I've done TV and film and all of that. I love it all. It's all amazing. I say don't limit yourself. Do it all. That's my motto in life. Do it all. But
I hear you.
I want to know, how can people follow you on social media so they can make sure that they – and I'll post it, too, on my platform as well.
Okay. Well, on Twitter, I am at Words on Flicks. My Twitter handle, Words on Flicks. There is a Words on Flicks Facebook group. It has been a closed group up to now, but I'm going to open it up so people can just join. I was concerned that maybe somebody would get in the Facebook group and just kind of wild out, you know, as people tend to do. But there's so many things to watch, and people have so many valuable opinions And it's something we love to talk about, particularly during this pandemic. It's a communal experience. Movies were made for communal experience. Like, that's how movie theaters were set up. And even though we still individually interpret them, it's nice to be able to talk about the experience with other people. And so that's what I want. So there's the Words on Flicks Facebook group, or you can email me at Janine C, J-A-N-I-N-E-C, at wordsonflicks.com. And then, of course, there's still the blog, which I have to put more reviews up there. It's been a while. But you can read some of the archived work. It's wordsonflicks.blogspot.com. And that's Flicks, F-L-I-C-K-S, Words on Flicks.
Nice. Awesome. Well, we really look forward to following you. I'm going to follow you, too, on social media and listen to your show. I've got a lot of guests coming on tonight, but I appreciate you taking the time out of your night to come on and share your show. Again, welcome back to the fam. Look forward to meeting you when it's safe to do so, when we're in a different world right now. But hopefully the whole eWater fam can all get together at some point in time. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Tammy, and all your listeners. Thank you. And y'all be safe. Keep watching films and keep watching out. Take care, y'all.
All right. That's off the hook, you guys. Hey, if you get a chance, make sure that you listen in to Words on Flicks with Janine. Sounds like I can't wait to listen to it already, because she's going to be able to give me some good movies to put on my list to watch. I'm a big movie buff on the weekends. That's my thing. So now we have a panel of guests tonight on the topic of self-love, the water for personal and professional growth. So with that, I want to go ahead and just bring it right on in. I want to first introduce my very, very good friend, my sister, author, filmmaker, actress, public speaker, journalist, founder of a nonprofit organization. The list goes on and on and on. She is a Jill of all trades, okay? She's calling in from Washington, D.C. tonight. Dr. Stella Monica Mpende, are you there?
Damn, what's up, Tammy?
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I am good. I am live. You got me up here at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, it's past my bedtime, but for you, I will be up.
Come on. Of course you will, because you know you don't want me to make a trip down there. Actually, you probably do.
No,
I haven't seen you forever.
I know. It's been a minute. But it feels like it's always just yesterday, you know, since we last talked. So it doesn't feel like it's been as long, but it has been. It's been quite a minute.
Yeah, it really has, you know, and I really enjoyed, you know, Zooming with you the other night, because it's just so important to have that connection, you know, with your friends during this time. And I encourage everybody out there who's listening, please have those connections in your life. It's really important, you know. It's important to, they say, social distance. I really never liked the term social distance. I think it should be physically distanced, but never socially distance yourself. Always stay social, right?
Of course. But, you know, before I go any further, I do want to say, you know, I appreciated the intro you gave me. And honestly, I also have to say all the kudos to you, too, and all the great stuff you've been doing certainly deserves a lot of attention and accolade as well, including your show. Thank you so much for inviting me on here. It really is a privilege. It's an honor. And the last time I was here, we were talking about a topic that was, I think, very important to both of us on it's not just a black and white thing, and that was in reference to the social justice. So talking about something that is also important to us here is really meaningful. So I really appreciate you availing this platform to me and to the others that will be joining us as well. So thank you.
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. I mean, it's always a joy to hear your voice and hear your knowledge, because you you just amaze me. Every time I talk to you, I feel like I learn something new about you, and it's always amazing. You really, truly inspire me, and I want you to know that. You just keep reaching for the stars, because the sky's the limit for you. You can do so many things, and I'm just blessed to be a part of your life and to have you on my show and to call you my friend. So it's feeling is so mutual. And with that, I got to say, happy early birthday, my friend. You got to celebrate this whole weekend.
Thank you. Yes. I am forever 21, hon. Yes, unapologetically so. So thank you. Appreciate that forever. Yes. It is my birthday
nice.
On Sunday, so I'm looking forward
to it.
Stella
Monica.
Should be good.
It's your birthday.
Yes.
That's right.
That too. Don't
That's
date
right.
us now.
I know, right?
Do not That's date really, us. Huh? Please do not do that. Not tonight. Not today. Not here. Later, but not here.
All right. Well, let's hang tight, Dr. Stella Monica. I'm about to bring on Mr. Mark Winkler. On the air, but before
cool.
I bring him on, yes, I got to brag on him a little bit because Mark Winkler, he's an author, he's a motivational speaker, he's a youth mentor and fatherhood specialist through his nonprofit organization called Manhood Camp, and a former music talent agent from one of the biggest talent agencies in the entire world, called United Talent Agency. You might have heard of it, UTA. Yeah, it's a pretty big one. He represented people like Nelly, Cash Money, Patti LaBelle, Nas. Yeah, just a few, you know, B-listers, right? Yeah, right. Mr. Mark Winkler, are you there? My friend, Mark Winkler, are you, we got you live on the air. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. I was still basking in all the accolades, so I didn't come on for a moment. I wanted them to continue.
No, you know, I forgot to continue. Okay. And not only that,
no.
He is my friend. I just want no,
That's
I do want to say that.
Thing.
And above all that stuff, you're my friend, and I'm so happy
there
to have
you
in my life.
Ah,
you wanted me to keep going
on.
Oh, you're soaking it in.
I was absorbing.
Well, I guess that makes sense because it's called self-love, right?
Okay, yes.
Now he's going to get to a whole other level.
I just went with it. I said, I know this is dead
right.
air, and I know, but if I just don't say anything, she's going to have to continue. No, but it's a pleasure, Tammy. I thank you for welcoming me again on your wonderful platform, and I look forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be a doozy.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it as well. And, you know, before I bring on our last panelist, I do want to give a little plug to your show because since you were last on my show, you got your own show. Like, that's what this love is. You know what I mean? You landed your own show and it is rocking. You're making us all bite our nails over here because your numbers are off the charts. So tell everybody about your show.
Well, it's called On the Other Side. And it's with a wonderful guest host by the name of O'Shea Lugia. And it was birthed out of an idea. I was sitting around with a couple of my friends, and we were talking about just, you know, having real conversations with men, but putting it in the atmosphere of what life is going to look like on the other side of this pandemic. And so from there, we had some more conversations, and then we started to bring it more to life, did a couple of lives, and then this opportunity came about to be on eWater Radio, and so we definitely went with that because it's a tremendous platform, and we're very excited to be a part of it. And then we said, well, let's take some of the content and just throw it in the podcast sphere. So we've been doing that, so we're on Apple and Spotify and all those great places, and it's just some really good conversations. I think people because we've just been sitting with ourselves for the past year, I think we're more in a reflective mode. So I think it's a really good time to have these type of conversations. So we give you something to think about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, your show is just so soothing. It's so easy to listen to because it's just so relaxing, and it's a good place. You bring everything to a good place, and you have a lot of really interesting guests who offer different perspectives that you can gain from, you know, just really intelligent guests. And I really love your platform, and I'm so proud of you for doing that. And yeah, seriously, you really are doing big things, and I'm very proud of you. And last but not least, I see Solo. Solo's always, you know what, he likes to make an entrance late. So let me give him a hard time. But before I do got to brag on him too. Solo's calling in from Atlanta. He was probably asleep just like Dr. Stella Monica here. old timers, you know. He got a birthday. She's getting old, you know. And Solo too, you know, he's old over out there in Atlanta. He's probably asleep. I probably woke him up a minute ago. But he's co-hosted with me in the past. I'm excited about having him on the show too. He's the founder and CEO of Lit Sports Group and Sports Entertainment Development Company, and also Happy Health Squad LLC. He's a co-founder and board member of Do Something Athletic and so many more companies. I mean, I think he probably has about 20 business cards, seriously, because this man, I don't think he sleeps. So actually, he probably was taking a little cat nap, and then he's going to be on the show, and then he's probably going to go back to work, another job, because he just, you know, another one. That's him with all his jobs all day. Solo, are you on the line? Are you there?
Yes. Hey. No, actually, you're absolutely correct. I was not asleep. I was just finishing a Zoom call, like trying to get these loquacious individuals off the phone so I can get on your show. So I was just happy.
He said loquacious.
Did you just learn that word tonight, Solo? Look, talking to Mark, you had to step up your game, huh? Because, you know, Mark studied words out of the dictionary, like, on a daily. He picks a new word and he remembers it, puts it in his bank. So I guess Solo just picked one tonight.
No, I actually saw that word pop up on my dictionary daily word about a week ago, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And so I just never had a chance to use it. I squeezed it in today.
Wow.
Oh, I can't.
That's great. I love
it.
It'll
be quite a night. Oh, man.
Tonight is going to be a good night. So with that, we're going to get right into it, self-love. And we're going to kick it off with Dr. Stella Monica. I want you to go ahead and just start this show off with defining what self-love means to you. Not out the dictionary, but what it means to Dr. Stella Monica.
She said, not out the dictionary. Okay. Well, with that disclaimer, no, it's a very profound question over there. But what I have come to realize and learn for me, and definitely even more recently, especially as I get older, that self-love, I mean, and I'm going to say this in different compartments. So starting off, to me, self-love is the liberation and release of my spirit from limitations, barriers, destructions that prevent me from allowing myself to submit to the highest calling of my divine nature. That, to me, is self-love. And
wow.
In light of that, what does that actually kind of look like? And unfortunately, what I've also come to realize is it usually takes for one to either have something of value within them, to have either been betrayed, violated, trespassed, you know, abused, misused before one is in a position to acknowledge what was originally of value within them, to then be able to claim and reclaim what they is what they essentially are holding up as a reflection of their self-love. So for me, it is an intentional, deliberate reframing of the mind and a commitment to a daily practice of loving oneself. So again, going back to my personal experience with it, loving oneself means what? Again, I have come to realize that when I think about love, I mean, there's so many expressions of it and so many forms of it all over the place, but as it relates to self-love, love for me and self-love have become an opportunity and a commitment of what my relationship with God is like. And when I think of love, I think of God. And then I had to go through my own experiences of what that relationship with God looked like for me. And then I came to realize, and I keep, and it's always something every day, like I said. It's not like you have this one epiphany moment and boom, I'm this self-love, like, expert. You know, no. You know, but my relationship with God gave me a template and a standard of what love looks like for me. So when I got to know what God's love for me was like, it gave me a template and a standard of how that love for me should be applied to me. And then how, therefore, I exhibit and exude and embody and demonstrate that love to other people. And so it's in association with that, it also then reaffirmed what value means to me. You know, what does it mean for me to value myself? What does it mean for me to identify self-worth? And with value and self-worth, then I broke that down even further. How is that embodied in the parameters I set? And how is that embodied with the opportunities that I allow myself to embrace? So that is why I said originally it is an intentional and deliberate conscious effort of how you reframe your mind and how you put that into practice. And to do that, you have to constantly be in a space where you are separating and releasing yourself from what does not elevate you and embody God's love. And what allows you to release yourself to the highest submission of that divine nature. That, to me, is self-love. I mean, we can talk about examples all night long.
That's pretty good.
But at the core for me, that's what that is.
No, that's really deep. That's really deep. And I like what you said. Sometimes it takes a storm for you to really figure out what that means, because sometimes we don't really know what's inside of us until we go through something mm-hmm. really crazy, that kind of a storm in our life, right? Some trouble in our life. And then we figure out who we're made out of, you know, what we're made out of, right? It's almost like a kid that's
Absolutely.
Getting picked on. And then finally they said, no, I'm not going to take this. I'm better than that. Da, da, da. You think about it. It starts, I think, in childhood. I think it starts in childhood and high school. And then as we grow older and gain more experience, and age, I think we define self-love even more because we really set our boundaries and get to know ourselves mm-hmm. more and know what makes us tick and know what makes us happy. And we tend to tap into that, right? So, Mark, I want to mm-hmm. ask you, what is your definition of self-love?
Well, it's a liberation and release from barriers and obstruction that prevents me from access. Wait.
Is he reading for the dictionary again?
Oh,
good Lord.
You said don't use the dictionary. You did not say
I
couldn't
plagiarize.
Wow. He literally is looking that up. See? See when we get there?
Let me just say this, man. That was beautiful, Stella Monica. It definitely gives us a foundation, right? And so I will veggie back on that. And I would say that self-love is a radical acceptance of who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that requires mm-hmm. the things that Stella Monica was talking about, right? It requires a reaffirming in the mind daily, right? It requires being connected to the source of all the beauty that's inside of you, right? Because we all have so much light inside of us for different things that we do, from art to family to brother, sister, husband. All of these points of lights are in us, right? They exist. They make up who we are, right? But then we get connected to the source of that light, and that is God. That is the creator. That is the higher energy. But there's things that's blocking that, right? And so when Stella Monica talks about reaffirming that, one, when I mention, and I pair that now with radical acceptance. So we have to step outside of ourselves and do a radical evaluation. What are we looking at? What's in front of us? And we have to say, okay, I wear makeup every day. What am I covering up? Who am I trying to, who am I hiding from? Right? Oh, I wear, you know, clothes this way, or I speak this way. So it's saying just unbridling all of those things that you hide and looking at them and saying there's beauty in everything about me and who I am. In order to sustain that, like Santa Monica said, it has to be a, you have to have a daily reminder, because there's daily reminders why you should not love yourself. If you look at magazines, if you look at television, people of color, there's daily reminders why you are not worthy to love. And be love and love yourself. So you have to have these practices that she spoke of. You have to have these rituals that remind you that you come from greatness, and there's greatness inside of you, and that greatness is connected to the greatness that created, the very source of that creation of greatness. So for me, self-love is a radical acceptance of who you are.
Wow. That's
beautiful.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think you're right. I mean,
I love it.
You know, every time we look at magazines, when we look at commercials, when we see all these different things out in the media, it's always kind of, you know, and they always say, too, if you have somebody that puts you down, right, it takes like three positive accolades to build you back up. That's what I think they teach you in, like, psychology, right? So for all these things that we hammer down with constantly, we look at these magazines, young girls will even, you know, young women will actually not, I don't even say young, women, we look at these magazines, even men look at these magazines, and we compare ourselves to what's in that magazine, not thinking about Photoshop, not thinking about filters, right? But we're comparing ourselves to what we think that we should be or we could be, but we're not loving ourselves for where we're at, you know, and embracing where we're at in the journey. But there's so many different examples, not just aesthetically, but just we constantly compare ourselves to other people. But the world needs all of us to turn, you know. So it's really powerful what you said, Mark. Solo, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I kind of agree with both of them. They both are strong, strong definitions, and it's really dope. I mean, I believe you truly begin to love yourself when you non-biasedly know who you are, when you dig really, really deeply to know who you are and unconditionally accept your physical and spiritual self. That's when you come to love yourself, because it's hard to love a stranger. We can't love – it's really difficult to love somebody you don't know, and a lot of us don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. So the insecurity comes in and settles in. And the insecurity, the core, you know, ingredient for insecurity is the unknown. And we feel insecure. And so a lot of times it's hard to love yourself when you're not sure who you are. So I believe once we start to understand who we are and unconditionally accept that, then you can truly begin loving yourself. Like my man was saying, society and the culture that we live in puts unrealistic expectations on ourselves. And so a lot of us get lost in the sauce trying to be somebody we're not. I'm a cliche killer, right? Here's my number one cliche. I'm going to murder for life. It's one we all use and we misunderstand. One thing that we don't get a chance to kill, this cliche has to go. You can do anything you put your mind to. You know, a lot of people agree with that, right? But they don't understand what they're really saying. You cannot do anything you put your mind to. Anything you set your mind to do, you can't do. Let me give you an example. if you're a 3-foot dork, you can put your mind to slam dunk in the basketball without a trampoline all day long. You'll never do it. You, if you stand on top of Empire State Building and put your mind to flying off without some type of apparatus like a parachute, you will splat and hit the ground. You can put your mind to a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it. You can put your mind to disappearing without some kind of illusion. It's not going to happen. My point is, the true term that people should use, and they should stop saying that because it puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on people, is you can do anything you're designed to do. You can do anything you're naturally designed to do. Cheetahs are designed to run fast. Lions aren't. Leopards are designed to climb trees. Cheetahs aren't. My point is you can do anything you're designed to do. And a lot of times we don't explore what we're designed to do. And that's a whole lot, by the way. But some people just aren't designed to do certain things, and they don't realize it because somebody told them you can do anything you put your mind to. And that's not accurate. So you get to believe in that, and then you put unnecessary pressures on yourself, and then when you start to so-called fail, then you don't really love yourself. No one could feel like you're a failure. So it's really difficult to love yourself when you've been told all your life you could do anything you put your mind to. When you start putting your mind to things you're not designed to do, then you start getting depressed, stressed, frustrated, and you don't love yourself. So I think loving yourself is when you know yourself, first of all, knowing what you are. Then when you know what you are, you know what you're capable of. If I know I'm a cheetah, I know I can run fast. And so my point is, when you know what you are and you accept it unconditionally, then you can truly start to begin to love yourself.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is really interesting. I think you have to have the desire, too. You know, you definitely are designed to do that, right? We all have natural abilities that are innate in us, born in us, that we have, but then also tapping into that, but having the desire to do them, too, because some people are good at doing certain things, but they don't have the desire to do them. So you do have to have the desire. I would add to what you said is designed to do something, but desire as well, right?
Yeah, of course. No, but I mean,
yeah, I would
definitely.
Yep. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that's beautiful, but I do think we knowing yourself, I think is a crucial step. And towards, you know, self-love. I will add with the last part that you said, Brother Solo, in terms of just, you know, sort of redesigning that. I think that people hear that, right? When people hear you can do anything you put your mind to, I think it unlocks, right? It unlocks the door of possibility, right? Because you're right, someone who's 3 feet is probably not going to be dunking, right? But that person could invent some shoes that allow them to dunk, right? So I do think that I think when you unlock the possibility of what's inside of you, right? When you look at yourself and you say there's an endless amount of possibilities inside of me, and it's just infinite, right? I think that, you know, once you accept that about yourself, you begin to love yourself because we're told, man, that we have a limited amount of things that we can do as human beings. Right. And those things have been sort of given to us to make the clock, make this wheel turn. Right. You're supposed to, you know, go to school, learn a particular thing about a particular subject. And then you're put into this wheel. And that's what you're supposed to do all your life. Right. And people give up being artists. They give up being potential engineers. They give up just so many things that are just locked in their brain. Right, because they're told that you were supposed to do this, right? And they never really get to that point where they can just know themselves, man, to know thyself. To know thyself is an endless statement. You know, it's an endless possibility.
What you just said is the new phrase. I mean, I totally agree with you. I just wouldn't say you can do anything with your – but what you just said is so on point, is the endless amount of ideas that you can explore. I mean, it's just different ways of telling people that. I was just telling that in many different ways.
Right,
it's a cliche phrase. Because if you leave it so blanket, I mean, you leave it general like that, right? Like it's a blanket statement, the only thing you put your mind to, that's broad. And people
is.
Will really, people. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, and that people, please don't take this wrong, but people with Parkinson's can't be a surgeon. So, you know, if you you know what I mean? I'm not meaning that from a trying to, you know, disrespect people with that disorder. I'm just saying it'd be hard for a person with a case of Parkinson's to be a pinpoint surgeon to you know, you can't open heart.
Right, but see, that's true, man. But see, but the thing they could be, they could be teachers. Right, so they can teach people how to do surgeries, right? So, so that's what I'm saying. It's endless. You just we just can't be prisoners of other people's ideas of who we are. That's the only thing. I think that's what you're saying. We got to know yourself. You know, yeah.
Now we're
know our limitations, but then don't make our limitations cripple ourselves. You know what I'm saying? When you watch movies like Janine, the movie buff. I can't wait to hear her show this weekend. Eddie the Eagle. She's got to write that one down to go see. If you guys haven't seen Eddie the Eagle on Netflix, talk about perseverance. This guy never was an athlete in his life. Like, you look at him and you'll never look at him saying, oh, this is an athlete. Like, you look at him, you're like, no way. But he defeated all odds, and it was just amazing. So I think knowing your limitations but persevering through those. So I think that's all, this is all good stuff. This is all good stuff. But, you know, Solo, your name is Solomon, but you go by Solo, meaning alone. So how do, because you work like crazy, you've got like 25 jobs, how do you love yourself? Let me ask you that. How do you love yourself personally and find that time to do so?
It took a while. Like, I didn't always love myself. You know, I come from poverty, right? So I grew up insecure. You know, I didn't get new shoes till they started flapping. I came from that type of poverty. So growing up, I was very, very insecure. Couldn't even hold relationships down. So I was scared that a girl would think another guy was better than me and take off. So growing up, the way we grow up, has a lot to do with how much we love ourselves to some degree and how we're treated. You know, a lot of our childhood experiences has everything to do with how we love ourselves, right, or how other people treat us in most cases. So it took experience and time for me to love myself. I had to have failures and successes to realize who I am is never going to change, even though the outside variables do. And once I start to understand that the world is diverse, it changes, people go up and down, I realized none of that had anything to do with my perception of self. So how I love myself is I maintain a consistent perspective of who I am, a perception of who I am. And it doesn't have anything to do with my mirror, my reflection, or what other people think. I love myself because I know who I am at core. I know who the essence of who I am and who I want to be. And that can't be changed by someone else's opinion. So you can call me out my name. You can do specific things to me. Of course, you can't touch me, but you can do a whole bunch of stuff to me, and it won't affect me because I would not allow a person whose personal intent, right, is to tear me down to work, because that would mean I'm letting somebody that I deem less emotionally intelligent than I am to affect me. So with that said, you have to understand who you are to love you. And that's what I mean by know who you are. Once you know who you are, you can't let anybody else adjust that for you. So that's why I love myself. I wake up with a smile every day because I know who I am. And then when you know who you are, it's really difficult for somebody else to tell you anything different because they don't know you as good as you do.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really, really good. Dr. Stella Monica, I want to shoot that question over to you. You know, you had mentioned how spirituality, you know, plays a huge role in your self-love. Define what you mean, you know, by that and what, how you do that and you practice that yourself.
No, that's a really good question. And it's very much, you know, it amplifies a lot of what, you know, my brothers here, Solo and Mark, have been saying this evening. And it goes back to what I had said earlier. It really starts with, again, that sense of self, right? I think as Solo had talked about quite a bit. But it also, or not but, and in addition to that, it aligns with a commitment. I remember I had to tell myself, even at a young age, of course, I didn't necessarily have the words back then articulated this way, but it was my commitment to not subscribe to what others have already prescribed over my life. And the only person that I will allow myself to subscribe to is what my relationship with God allows me to have been prescribed of. So what does that mean? That means that I will not authorize somebody to dictate what my life decisions and patterns are to look like. To author is to write, right?
Yes.
To authorize is to essentially allow somebody to have the permission to write over you. To prescribe is to write and scribe before. To subscribe is to submit to what has been prescribed over you. So for me to say that I had to make a conscious decision of who and what I will subscribe to was a deliberate step I needed to take from a young age. And, of course, it goes with people speaking death over your life or speaking life over you. And a lot of times I had, and when I was young, you know, and also this is just like thing for everybody. It really also has a lot to do with discernment. A lot of times when you're young, you're not always in control of the people that you are around. So not everybody always has the best intentions of you when you are around them. But if you are somebody who is a giving, a loving, and a, you know, a well-intentioned person, you want to automatically make the default the positive. So you want to assume that everybody around you has the best intentions and you yourself have positioned yourself to be for them. But that's not always the case. So when the people that you essentially have allowed yourself to become a part of your daily atmosphere are the very ones who are speaking death over your life but with a smile on their face, and it does not add or, you know, or value you, but it devalues you and disempowers you, you begin to experience some kind of cognitive and spiritual dissonance, but you may not have the words or the wherewithal or the ability to articulate what exactly is going on inside of you. So it wasn't until I began to commit to what a relationship with God looked like that I had to then recharacterize who is it that I am allowing to authorize any type of life written scripture over my life. And it wasn't until I did that that I began to be very cautious about who I submit to when I talk about submitting to what, you know, like I said earlier, what I subscribe is to what or to whom I prescribe. And so that was a convert I made since I was young, and it's something that's guided me today. Now, of course, you have occasional what I call people who slip through the cracks, right? The ones who, you know, the sheep in wolf's clothing or wolf in sheep clothing, however you phrase it. Yeah, I think it's wolf in sheep clothing, right? And then you're like, wait a minute, hold up. That's not, you know, that does not quite, you know, align with what I thought. And, of course, that's where betrayal comes in. But, of course, and that's where you go back to the drawing board or where I would go back to the drawing board and then find my inspiration from, you know, my creator, God, to fill me up. And I think it was Mark who said earlier that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're not, you know, you also have competing reminders, right, that are designed to break you down, that are designed to not elevate and to not enrich. So for me, to answer your question and just to kind of highlight that, it was me recognizing at a young age that I had to discern and have agency and choose what voices, what words, and who I was authorizing to have the ability and the opportunity and the blessing to be able to speak anything over me, especially what were they speaking over me? And were they speaking words of life that were in alignment with what God had for me? And I admit, as you know, when you're growing up, like I said, you don't always have that wisdom. You know, you learn. But I'm glad I learned that at a young age, and that has been what I have used as my template moving forward. So like I always say, you know, you have to be mindful of what you subscribe to and ensuring that what you subscribe is in alignment to what is, you know, what has been authorized within your heart and your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's rich.
Yeah, that's very, very powerful. You know, speaking of, you know, I want to ask the question, you know, how important is the company you keep in regards to this topic? Because you touched on that, Dr. Stella Monica, but I want to throw this one out to Mark. How important is it, you know, the company that you keep around you, how important is that in regards to self-love?
Yeah. I think it's very important because your mind really has, you know, you got so much going on out there. Your mind at times has a limited amount of real estate, right? really, you know, take in and process, and, you know, from the conscious to the unconscious. And if you are constantly in the space of people who are not working on themselves, who are not working to elevate themselves to the next level and then the next level after that level, and you eventually are going to start to absorb their limitations. You're going to eventually start to see yourself as other than yourself. So I really think it's important to, I think it's really, really important to be mindful of the people who you associate with. I mean, look, some people you're going to spend, you know, family members and old friends, you know, they're going to be in your life and they're there, but you have to say to yourself, are they on the same trajectory as I am? You know, I've been sharing, I've been growing, I've been, you know, exposing them to this new growth that I'm experiencing, this new radical acceptance, this knowing myself, this, as Stella Monica said, this a deliberate mindset to elevate yourself, to stay connected to your higher power. If you're doing all of that and you're sharing, those who want to be in your circle, those who want to grow with you, and you see that they're actively doing the work that you're doing, those are the people you have to be around. The other people you can love from afar, because they will, if they jump in your mindset, they will become barriers, because now you have to take time to deal with their energy. And it's not selfish, right? If you say, I'm not going to do that. I just real quick, when I was going through custody court, and I had to keep myself in a particular mindset, and I had to be deliberate about that, as Stella Monica, I had to be deliberate about keeping myself in that mindset. A lot of people were angry for me, and they wanted to have conversations about their anger, how they were angry at the mother. They wanted to talk about that. But I couldn't absorb that, because there's no way that I could not set through that atmosphere and then not taken that into court and not projected what I was being cloaked with. So I made a decision that I was going to, my goal was going to be love. And everything I had to do to get into a state of love, meaning my love that I, at that time I was defining as my daughter, the love of my daughter. And everything that would put me to her, towards that, I brought into my life, people as well. Everything that took me away from that, I politely had to move it aside. So, yes, I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That sacrifice is just so admirable. It's deep. And it's just so admirable because, you know, not everybody sees things that way. But, you know, we have to prioritize what we put into our mind. And, you know, I had a conversation with you, Mark, not too long ago about, we were talking about information. You know, we're always processing new information, right? It was just such a deep conversation. I'm so I really think about that all the time, about the information that we're getting from other folks. You know, with the pandemic, there's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of BS out there, right? Well, there's a lot of that with anything, right? So if people are in this conspiracy stuff and people are in this mindset of a fixed mindset, if you will, and not that growth mindset, I really don't even want to associate myself with those folks, because for me, it's all about growing. And I'm just in a whole different place in my journey, journaling and constantly taking in what, you know, good things, good intel, because I know it affects my day. And so, yeah, I think that's super, super powerful what you just said, Mark. I have somebody that just texted me. I'm going to do something really quick, you guys. I'm going to bring somebody in that has a question, so, or it has a statement that they want to make. So give me 1 second. I'm going to bring in Dr. Renee. Are you there?
Yes. Tammy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Thanks. You hear me?
Wow, everybody. Yes, I can hear you. And was that Mark that was just speaking, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I love what everybody is sharing today, and about one of the things I got about all this self-love is being committed but not attached. And I've learned that even if you're in a family situation, whether you're rich or poor, and these are for people who have little kids, when you're having dinner together, having it at a table where it's loving words and as kind as you can. Hopefully it is with mom and dad, but if it's a single mom or a single dad, have it where you talk about not love necessarily, but It's a place that's a safe harbor for kids to share, and they can be themselves, and you can see them grow. And no TV, no radio, or no phones at the table, and just be really connected with the kids, and not any homework during dinner. And when they grow up, they're going to think about all this when they reflect back. And it's when kids are kind of on their own, running havoc, or just stuck in front of the TV, they won't know. They won't know how much you love them. Another thing I want to share about the self-love is about loving yourself is gratitude for yourself, gratitude for God and being close to God, as also forgiveness of yourself and full acceptance of yourself. And when you have that, loving God, love yourself first, and then you have room to love other people. You find the right spouse. You've attracted the right people around you. And if you're single, attracting the right boyfriend or girlfriend, then possibly getting married. And then also, you're the five people you surround yourself with. A thing, Tammy, that you and I had talked about several weeks ago, that when girls are little, adolescents between 11, 12, 13, when they start their cycle and they hang around with each other, five or six little girls, they start it literally at the same time because of vibration and frequency, that they all share. The same thing that happens as we grow up as adults. If you're making $100,000 and the other person's making $1,000,000, just by being in their vibration and frequency, your income, your bank account will also rise. How it happens, I don't know, but it just does. So surround yourself with good people, loving people, God-fearing people, people who you want to, attribute to and emulate, and whether it's a bank account or their position in life, and also in their intelligence, not only academia, but also in personal development. Tammy, I'm complete. I didn't mean to go too long, but I just wanted to share that real quickly.
I couldn't agree with you more.
No, that was powerful.
A nun, you're not going to be a nun raised in a brothel. So I completely agree with you. It's about who you're around.
Exactly. And a gratitude journal really helps out a lot. Daily gratitude journals at night before you go to bed for the littlest things, even driving in the car, you got your shot, you didn't get your shot. You know, somebody opened the door for you when you went into the grocery store. Little things like that, they add up. And then you'll see more positive things, the right clients attracted to you who love to give you money, who like to sign on the contract so they can be coached by you, or giving you the right job, or giving you the right access, or the right, person to get in contact with, referrals, testimonials. You'll get the right ones by just your vibration and frequency that you're putting out of positiveness and of love and of gratitude and forgiveness.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dr. Renee. I really appreciate your words, and look forward to having you again on a show in next month, I believe. Yeah, next month, part
April
15th. Yes, I'm really excited about that. So thank you for your comments and adding to this. That was great. We'll
thank
be talking
you, Doctor.
Soon.
Very powerful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Very
thank you.
Insightful. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was very, very insightful, and speaking of this, it's so important. It's important to challenge yourself, right? Be around people that kind of challenge you a little bit, because sometimes I know I have been around friends that make me feel comfortable, right? But I'm not in that mindset anymore. So I kind of like to be uncomfortable sometimes. What do I mean by that? Well, I like to be challenged. I like sometimes for people to disagree with me. I like for people in a good way, right? Meaning they're letting me see a different side, a different perspective. They're helping me grow. Well, have you tried this? What have you thought about that? Those are things that are important to me because I want to grow. I'm in a growth mindset. So in terms of that, in terms of leadership, I'll throw it out to any of you. Solo, Mark, Stella, Monica, what do you feel about self-love in terms of leadership and business?
In business? Self-love, first of all, that's a good segment, because when you think about self-love, leadership in business, first of all, you want your employees to emulate how you are to some degree. Now, you don't want them to be you. You want them to emulate the culture, your business culture. So that's kind of different from your personal personality to some degree, but it's really similar to some degree. Like, the way I treat people in business, I want people to enjoy working for me. I want them to have a pleasurable experience. And the reason why I create businesses anyway is never for me or more money. It's to provide opportunities and a better life for other people. So in order for people to have a better life, they can't come to work stressed out. You know, they can't feel like every day they come to work, they want to jump off a bridge. So you have to create an environment that makes people energized and excited about coming to do the work that you want them to do for you, because they're going to perform better when they're happier, full of energy, you know, full of love. So you can't share that type of love without first loving yourself. And then once you truly, you know, have this self-love, then you can share what you're familiar with. If you're not familiar with loving yourself, it's going to be difficult to express that love or have it generate throughout your business and to other people. So in order to feel, to have that type of leadership, you know, in your organization that replicates the type of love or the type of environment that you actually feel inside yourself, you have to know what it is and authentically feel it yourself before you can share it with others.
Yeah, I couldn't
agree
more.
I like that.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Do you have anything
Well, go ahead, Stella Monica.
Oh, well, I was just, I was reflecting, because it's funny, as I was hearing Dr. Renee and then Solo, and, you know, it's like my mind just had all these things just bursting through it, you know. But when you ask that question, Tammy, I think about character, you know. I think about, you know, elements of, say, integrity, you know. So ultimately, and I think Solo, you know, really set that up really well, where essentially your self-love really, you know, it's the foundation, it's the kernel seed for what projects out of you and how that lands on the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have been disappointed by sometimes is how there is a lot of aspiration to be leaders in business and entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur, I do this, I do that, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm a leader. But then you have a lot of these people who are being praised and admired, and social media has done a lot of that too, and, you know, all the accolades for being able to say that they're leading this and that, or being able to say that they're entrepreneurs of 80 million things. But then, simply, you know, going back to what Solo said, How are they leading the people around them? How
mm-hmm.
are they influencing, you know, the people mm-hmm. that work for them? How are they mm-hmm. treating the clients? How? What is the quality, mm-hmm. of the business and everything that is essentially a product and an output of you? Because what is an output is a reflection of your input. So if your input is of low quality, mm-hmm. and you have not
yep.
done the work that you needed to do, then guess what? It is going to be reflected in your output. So you have
yep.
a lot of people mm-hmm. out there who are praising others and want to be praised for being all these multi-serial entrepreneurs and leaders and business. I'm an icon. But the quality behind the scenes is
mm-hmm.
nothing to be envied. In fact,
mm-hmm.
it is it could be so much as to being abusive, exploitative.
Mm-hmm.
And that to
mm-hmm.
me breaks my heart. It is disgusting to me. It really
mm-hmm.
is. I'm just going to be very honest and blatant. It is disgusting. And the generation that is coming up, unfortunately, is seeing a lot of projection, because social media does a lot of that, but they're not seeing the quality behind the scenes. We are not talking about character of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about characters of businessmen and businesswomen. And all that character I'm talking about, all that integrity I'm talking about, all that value and self-worth, that comes from the work you do when you commit and you are deliberate and intentional about what it means to be in the process of self-love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So to me, there is an urgency. There is an urgency in our communities today, where we're so big on projecting people, but what quality are we learning and breeding in people when we praise them? What are we teaching our kids? And that is what I want to see equated when we praise leadership this, and I'm a first person to do this, and I'm an award-winning this, and I'm an entrepreneur, you know, busting with this. And I've been around people who are a lot, you know, who have all these titles and all of these positions, but I've also seen behind the scenes, and it is sad. It is destructive, and it leaves nothing for me to admire.
Well,
and that's what I want us to focus
to
on.
Your point, people worship money. And, you know, like they said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. People think money is the root of all evil. No, money's not the root of all evil. Money's just paper.
It's the love.
It's the love of money. And a lot of times people praise these people because they're making money. And unfortunately, people, I mean, this is what's crazy. And I'll just shoot this over to Mark in 2 seconds. What I'm saying is what's crazy
Solo,
about this.
Can I cut you there for just 1 second? I love what you just said, but not only that, but for the projection that they're making money. I just want to add that too. You know,
you're
when you
1,000%
said they're praising. Yeah, because a lot of people are quick to project success, in quotes. But I just, you know, I'm done. Go ahead, please.
That was a very valid point. Very, very accurate. And this is what I want to say before I shoot over to Mark. People, for unfortunate reason, they attach their network to their self-worth. Your net worth shouldn't have a single solitary thing to do with your self-worth. But in this particular culture, it does. And so people who don't have the net worth have very little self-worth. And then that's why they compensate with Louis Vuitton. That's why they compensate with things they can put on their outer selves, because their inner selves, they feel, is broken and poor. Regardless of when they get any kind of money or any kind of resources or something, they try to overproject on the outside to compensate for the lack inside. And people don't really love themselves. It's very complicated for them to treat other people fair because they're miserable. A lot of people fail on so many miserable levels inside, and they try to protect Big Shot Willie on the outside, but they treat others like trash because that's how they feel about themselves. So they have to project this outer image of boss, this outer image of I'm doing big things. I know big people, especially if they used to be something big. That's the worst. So if you used to be something big, and you're not something big today, and nobody remembers that. Nobody cares if you was in a band 18 years ago that no one heard, and you project this. Nobody, have you ever heard of Johnny and the
Guitar String? Hey, Hollywood. We know that all too well.
Johnny and the Guitar String.
You don't know who I am? Yeah.
You don't even know who you are. So, like, do you? That's a better question.
I don't know
how many times
I've heard that at a club in Hollywood, right, Mark? You know, out here in L.A., you guys are in Atlanta, D.C., but, you know, in L.A., you see these people going up to the door, and they're like, you don't know who I am? Like, I don't need to be on a guest list. You didn't see me on this TV show? And I've seen people actually argue with the bouncers about their status.
That's funny.
And they'll be arguing for like 30 minutes.
When they ask that question, they should answer them. They're like, do you know who I am? Like, nah, you got amnesia?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's so, you know, Mark, did you have something to add to that? Because I know you were getting ready to say something a little bit ago.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's beautiful. I think that, you know, there is a lot of false projection of character going on, and that's really easily facilitated with all of these social media platforms. But if I think about leadership, I think about, you know, a leader is a guide, right? Someone who guides a process, someone who, you know, takes people from one place and then they bring them to another place. And I think the more leaders know about themselves, right, talk about self-love, know thyself, as our brother Solo said, the more they know about themselves, the more they know about their vision. They're clear about their vision, right? They're clear about the vision, even if it's someone else's vision, their words over, right? They know that, but they've brought into it, but especially if it's your own, right? You have a clear understanding of your vision, and you are confident about that. And you're not worried about someone usurping someone taking over that, right? Because it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can't take mm-hmm. over. They can only help you to grow it. Then what happens? When you have people who come in, you're not trying to regulate them to one particular function so they won't get unruly mm-hmm. or out of hand or to try to take over. But you, mm-hmm. because of your confidence, you begin to unlock yeah. their untapped resources, right? Because they mm-hmm. are leaders within themselves, but they have been unlocked a lot of times. So the more confidence mm-hmm. you are, the more you know yourself, the more self-love you have. When you're a leader, you can grow these other flowers around you. That's what I would say about leadership.
Oh, I could not agree more. And I want to add to that. I want to add to that because
that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's important to have that vision as a leader. It's important to have that vision as a leader, but that doesn't mean that you have to develop the whole plan, okay? Because
right.
good leaders always have a great team behind them. And so as mm-hmm. a leader, you should always involve your team within the because they're there for the day-to-day, right? They know mm-hmm. what's going on, boots on the ground. So you should always, before making huge decisions, you should always meet with your team to make sure, because mm-hmm. just because you have a great leader doesn't mean you're going to get there, and a great vision doesn't mean that you have to go this way, plan A, right? Mm-hmm. There's plan B, C, D. Your team can help you get there if you, because you know what your goal is. You know what your overarching goal mm-hmm. is and vision, but your team behind you needs to be on the front line with you, and they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we might have a whole different, as a leader, you know, I'm a leader at my job, a supervisor, but I would never make a big decision without going through my team first. And the reason why is because mm-hmm. I got to make sure it makes sense to them. They got to have buy-in mm-hmm. too. You understand what I'm saying? And I think mm-hmm. that is, mm-hmm. is a difference between, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I know who I am. That's a great leader, and then there's other leaders that may not do that. They just make a decision, but they don't mm-hmm. take into consideration all the other factors behind that. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it makes
it
a
does.
Lot of
and I
yeah.
That's the design of the universe, if you think about it. A lot of people don't look at what we are and where we live. When you think about it, it's never a me. Everybody has me syndrome, but it's impossible to do anything by yourself. You can't even boo-boo by yourself because you don't make your own toilet paper. So, mm-hmm. my you know, that, well, you, it's the truth. So there's nothing we do by ourselves, nothing. And if you look at the design, we live on what, one planet? We don't live on 1,000 planets. We live on one. But it's filled with billions of people to make it work. So the planet uh-huh. is alive because of all the species that are on it working together in one big ecosystem. That's why the planet stays healthy and alive, because it's one giant ecosystem. If you remove something from an ecosystem, that ecosystem goes to trash. People don't. That's why the extinction of certain animals or the removal of certain animals or the implementation of certain animals in certain environments is huge on an ecosystem. You think about uh-huh. the python coming to the Everglades. Eating up all of the birds. People say, well, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is if those birds help with certain plants that help keep that certain ecosystem rocking and rolling. So if you start, but people don't look at life that way. We are all interconnected. We all mm-hmm. need each other. Mm-hmm. We are all cogs of one big clock. And mm-hmm. that's how God made us. So when people try yeah. to say, well, you know, if it's all in God's plan, well, God's plan involved billions of people. So if he ever tried mm-hmm. to explain it to you, you'd go crazy after the first 3 seconds. So it's true. So we are all connected, and we are all reliant on each other. And the sooner we realize that, we stop being so mean and so spiteful and hateful to each other when we start to really think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I'd like to add one thing. Can I just add one mm-hmm. thing real quick?
Yeah, of course.
And it's something that that's you know, burning in my heart, and it's something that goes back to what I had said earlier, but also what Mark just also recently said. When we talk about leadership, I think for me, the greatest leaders in my life have been those that have mentored me, or the ones that empower. You know, when Mark talks about a guide, I think about empowerment. And what is so powerful about someone who empowers others is you are willing to release the essence of the highest nature of your calling to ensure that you are imparting to someone else the ability to see themselves attain the highest expression of their divine calling. You know what I mean? Like, so it's a cycle. And that is why the best leaders are giving, because they don't lose. They don't feel like they have anything to lose, because they're in the security. They're walking and standing in their own security, knowing that this is the space that I have been called. I have been called to empower you so that you can essentially also be called and do what you were called to do. And then you pass the baton in that way. And that is, to me, the essence of leadership. And that is why it goes back to what you were saying, Tanya, about, you know, some leaders who are maybe over micromanaged and da-da-da-da-da. All those are examples and reflections of various forms of insecurities where they don't trust others. They don't trust themselves, basically. They, you know, but when you are in your own security and you are an alignment with what your divine calling is, then you are in you are operating in a space of self-love where you can release yourself and position yourself to ignite the other people around you to also release themselves and empower them to submit to the highest calling of themselves. So that, to me, is essentially the core of leadership, of sound leadership.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I just wanted to say that. I was going to get an ulcer if I didn't, so I had to say that.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
that
was powerful.
No, that was very, very powerful.
What you said, you said that about the people being able to pour something into a cup. And the only thing I can say about that is an overflowing cup never goes empty. So I agree with you.
That's good. Yeah, that's so true.
Man, I love conversation with all of you. For
it's
real.
A lot
I,
of wisdom.
Inspiring. It's
a lot of wisdom.
I'm really appreciating this moment with all of you. So it's a blessing
absolutely
to have everyone on here.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to go back and take notes. I mean, this is good knowledge that's being dropped on this show. I think, too, I want to ask you guys, and this is just open-ended to whoever wants to answer, you know, where is the fine line of being selfish versus self-love?
Mark, you start with this one.
Yeah, you go, Mark.
Yeah, because this
Mark,
is a deep
go.
Question. I just thought of it off the top of my head. I said, this might be a, where does that fit in? Selfish versus self-love.
I think when you are selfish, there is no growth, right? There may be attainment, right? There may be attainment, but there's no growth. You may attain certain things like, you know, more money, more accolades, but there's no growth. There's no inner growth. There's no spiritual growth. I think when you are involved in a course of self-love and the discovery of self, you cannot negate the existence of other people, because that energy, it becomes you, and you know, and you see yourself reflected in other people. So it's an exchange, right? So the process of loving yourself, you at a certain point, you then begin to project out, right? When you're selfish, there's no projecting out. There's no connecting. It's all about, how can I do this for myself? How can I get this? How can I get that? And so you think you're growing, but you're actually shriveling away from humanity, away from being, you know, connected to the energy that will give you ultimate growth and self-love. So I think, that's what I would say.
Pretty deep.
You know what I'm thinking? That's beautiful.
When you think of who you are as yourself, right? When you think of who you are as yourself, the self is two of us, right? God made us in his image after his likeness. Would we all agree to that? And then one thing you got to understand is he's a lot like us. So we got the flesh, and then we have the spirit, right? So when you think of who yourself is, it's really your spiritual being, right? So if that spiritual being is connected to God, and God is that soul or spirit, is part of God and part of the spiritual being, then truly yourself is in everybody, because God's in everybody. So when you think about loving yourself, that's loving God. And since God is a part of us all, how could you love yourself without loving everybody? So the ish part, self-ish, would be the physical you. the person, the individual, the being that you are, then the person you see in your mirror, that's selfish, loving that only. That's selfish. But to love yourself is to love everything, because the true you is a spirit, and that spirit dwells in us all. So I would say that's the difference between being selfish and loving yourself.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's good. That's almost
that's
like
nice.
selfie versus self-love. the selfie world out there is crazy. Social media is crazy. And you can tell a difference, too, between there's people that are hungry out there. They're just really hungry. They're hungry because they don't know themselves. They're not aware of themselves. They don't have that self-love. Something's happened in their lives to damage them, and they haven't grown through that. And I think that sometimes people will post things, you know, on social media that are provocative to get the attention and crave that attention when, you know, it's just because there's something that's damaging within them. But they and they might look great, you know, they're posting these great things, but they're doing that for that attention because they're really not aware of themselves. They're not self-aware. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it does.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that with self-love, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we kind of all touched on tonight too is getting rid of that toxicity around you to be able to kind of absorb, you know, what's really deep within you, what your purpose is, right? So we all need to dig deep on what our purpose is. And one thing that I can really appreciate, if you wouldn't mind sharing this, Mark, how you wake up in the morning. I thought that was really cool. You shared with me in a conversation on how you kind of reset for the day. Like immediately when you wake up, you do some certain practices that help you get through the day and start your day off right. It's your breakfast in a whole other way.
Mm-hmm. I do. Thank you for that. Yeah, you know, I get up. I mean, first thing I do is make up the bed, right, because that just puts me in an organized mindset. Then I'll sit out and I'll pray. I may do some exercises, walking. I incorporated that a great deal. I'll read very positive books, not just like self-help books. When I say positive, I mean things that contribute towards a growth mindset of what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to go with my existence. And I don't touch social media. I condition my mind for the day, right? And so when we talk about going back to what, you know, Stella Monica said about, you know, about connecting, you know, to that higher power, that energy, that God energy. And there's so many roadblocks to that. What I do is I precondition my mind with these little steps that I take to allow me to step into that hellstorm, to step into that tornado of things that will derail you from being able to fully embrace, fully know thyself, fully love thyself. So putting that scuba gear, that secure underwater breathing apparatus of things that I do, I can jump into that river, I can jump into that ocean of things that will distance you from yourself, distance you from who you really are. And that helps me to stay grounded. And so those are some of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's the reason why I do it.
I love it. And I think how you start your day should be similar. You practices for the nighttime as well and how you end your day. It's important to put good things in your mind before you go to sleep, because when you get into that REM sleep, you don't want to be watching – no offense to the news and the media, but, you know, watching the news all the time or a scary, crazy crime, you know, movie, or, you know, putting those type of thoughts into your mind as you lay your eyes to sleep, to me, it puts those different images that may not be so positive in your dreams and your REM sleep, right? And you want to keep that momentum, that relaxation. So I think how we start our day is important, but also how we finish our day is equally as important.
I got to stop watching Game of Thrones before I go to sleep. That's because I did wake up feeling like a dragon was breathing fire on my eyes, and I kept telling, should I not watch it? Like,
Maybe after you watch it, you can go and read a book about love and peace and happiness. Read a page or two.
There you go. Listen to it.
Carry them around the night with you.
Listen,
yeah, you can watch
love.
Hey, but do something different right before you go to bed. You know, before you close your eyes, try to do something that's positive. And I promise you, if you try it, everybody out there that's listening, experiment. Like, try to watch a horror movie before you go to bed. Tell me how well you sleep. And then go read a really positive, uplifting book before you go to sleep.
It's
and
important.
Then do that
it's
experience.
Very important.
It's important.
It is.
You're right. You're right.
It really is. But,
Tammy,
somebody
actually,
just commented, somebody's clowning you right now. What's that?
No, I want to go back to that question you asked about selfish versus self-love. May I?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that is a very powerful question because even I think it's gotten to the point where people have hyped up, you know, it's okay to be selfish sometimes. It's okay to be selfish sometimes. And I understand where they come from, but this is where I draw the line. To me, selfish is operating in fear. Self-love is not operating in fear. And that is a very important distinction because love, and it's scripture, perfect love drives out all fear. So when you have a foundation of fear, because fear is the opposite of love, not hate. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear leads to the insecurities, destruction, self-destruction, all of the things that you're trying to fill yourself up with, you know, the void you're trying to recklessly fill up. And then we talked about projection, you know, I mean, so a lot of times, the most when people are truly in the heart of selfishness, they're operating in the depth, in the deepest dens of fear that is manifested in ways that are destructive to self and destructive to other people. And that goes back to also what Mark was saying when he was talking about growth. So, you know, and everything, you know a tree by its fruit. So when someone is doing something and they're saying, oh, you know, this is me, you know, I got to be selfish myself. And then the other person is doing the exact same thing, but they're coming at it from a spirit of self-love. You will notice the quality of fruit of the output. So I think it's very important that when we talk about self-love and self-care, you know, I think that we need to reframe these phrases of, you know, it's okay to be selfish sometimes. I get what people may want to say by that, but what they're basically not realizing that they're articulating and putting out into the universe is they're reinforcing operating in fear. And fear is the opposite of love. So I really wanted to say that because I wanted to really make sure that our listeners and even ourselves, we edify and affirm one another and ourselves in our platform, this platform tonight, that I'm hoping that is a clarification that, you know, one would consider when we start talking about our daily regimens and stuff like that.
That was super,
very insightful,
That was very insightful. You know what, if I can add to that you helped me unlock something that makes sense. What you just said was so profound. I'm going to live with that because that's really big. And to add to that, because that was just – I can't add much to that. But what I would say to that is people have been accustomed to other people filling voids that they haven't filled themselves. And they get disappointed by the fact that other people love them because they don't love themselves. So when you don't love yourself, you put the pressure on other people to love you in a way you can't even love yourself. And when people fail to do that, then you feel like you need to become selfish because now you've been disappointed by so many people that you wanted to fill voids you should have been filling yourself that you no longer trust them to do it. So you say, I got to love myself.
Absolutely.
I have to do it. And when you love
I got to say, Dr. Renee just added to what you just said, Solo, and what you just said, Dr. Stelmonica. I think she said, this is her quote, she said, selfish comes from ego. Ego stands for edging God out. Selfless comes from God, which is love. I like that a lot.
I love it.
I think it is so important. Ego. We got to leave our ego out of it. It's really self-love is not about being selfish. It's about being selfless. It's about when you exude self-love and people see that in you, it just is contagious around you, and you create that team and friendships that see that through you, and you exude the confidence and teamwork out of your team around you, your friends, your family, everybody around you. So I think, again, who you keep around you is very important. Get rid of the toxicity, how you start and end your day. There's so many good things that are coming out of the show. But I got to tell you guys, we are running out of time. I have my musical guests coming on in a few. So what I want to ask of you is to tell our listeners how they can follow you on social media or contact you via your website, and also any last thoughts that you want to add tonight. We're going to go ahead and start with Mark.
Well, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for the contributions made to this conversation. It was enlightening and very extremely informative. So I appreciate you guys being in touch. I appreciate you hosting such an important conversation. It's easy. You can get me at markrwinkler.com, markrwinkler, WINKLER.com. Pretty much my whole existence is there, so. One-stop shop.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell people how they can follow you and any last thoughts that you might have for the show?
Oh, I echo Mark's sentiments. I mean, thank you guys so much for the very knowledgeable nuggets. I mean, we can never stop growing, right? Fools graduate and wise people continue to learn. So thank you so much for the information and the nuggets you guys
That's
have
good.
Got. But no, you guys can reach me. I have a company. One of the main companies I'm pushing now for the public is the Happy Health Squad. It's an 8-year-old kid teaching other kids the importance of positive attitude, eating healthy, hygiene, and exercise. And so
That's
they're
good.
Multicultural. Yeah. So when you check this out, you can go to www.thehappyhealthsquad.com just to kind of see what we're about. And, yeah, pretty soon, me and Tammy got a little something going on with the squad. So we're looking forward to getting to schools at different places out there to teach the kids how to eat and act.
That's right, okay. Solo. Yeah, that's great. Just, yeah, check that out, Happy Health Squad. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff is going on. Follow that, the Happy Health Squad on Instagram. He's not a big social media person, but that's how you follow him. The Happy Health Squad, very important. Really good stuff going on there daily being posted. Last but not least, Dr. Stella Monica, can you please tell people how to follow you on social media or your website and any last thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can easily follow me on www.stellamonica.com. All my social media handles are there because I admit I don't necessarily remember them all off the top of my head. Some got hyphens, some got two dashes, some got a bunch of stuff. So StellaMonica.com is how you can find me. And again, I really thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Mark and Solo, for your energy, your wisdom, your insight. I thank you all for just the heart and the love that you brought on here tonight. I really, I'm full, and I really hope and pray that our listeners also got as much as I know I got from it. So really, I really do thank you all for this time, and I thank God for just this opportunity as well to really engage with all of you. So this was really a blessing. Awesome. And as far as, a message to leave everyone with is, you know, this whole journey of self-love is a process. It's a daily process, and it starts with a commitment to you, and it starts with a commitment to God, you know, and just, you know, surround yourself with the people who bring the best out of you. And that's the start. That's the start.
That is a good start.
So that's where I'll leave it.
Absolutely. That's great. I love that advice. That's critical.
That's
critical.
Clappy. That's clappy.
Right?
You can hear some clappy. That's clappy.
Clappy, right?
I'm mad. I am so mad.
That was like educated Ebonics. That was clappy.
You know, and to add to that, you know, before we can love others, we have to love ourselves, right? We have to love ourselves first before we can love others and before others will love us as well. Because people, you know, insecurity is real out there. And if you love yourself, I mean, I don't want to put nobody on blast, but look at Tizzo out there. She loves on herself all day long. And this woman is selling mad albums. She don't care about what other people think. She's doing her thing, you know? And there's so many people out there that are confident in themselves and make a name for themselves because they're confident. They know who they are. So I challenge everybody, get to know yourself. Get to know yourself. And I want to thank you, Mark Solo, Dr. Stella Monica, for being on my show tonight. It means everything. You guys are so amazing and insightful. I really enjoyed the conversation with you all tonight. Look forward to having you guys on again at some point. Just so blessed to have you guys in my life and all my friends around the world and the United States. You guys all shape who I am as well because I learn from everybody. You know, we learn from people, and it's important to keep good company around. You guys are definitely, certainly great company. And I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for just – helping me to be stronger and for your friendship. And just, you know, we've been friends for a long time. Solo's probably the newest friendship out of the three of you. And I've known you guys for a long, you know, Dr. Stella Monica and Mark for a very long time. And that says something. When you have longtime friends, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just shows commitment, you know. And then when I met Solo, I kind of felt like he was immediately my Gemini brother. Like he was my brother. He was family immediately. And when you get those connections, keep those, because that's important in life to connect with people. So, again, thank you guys. And I'm going to sign you guys off, and sadly, but I'm going to gladly bring on to a musical artist. I please stay on and listen, unless I know Solo and Dr. Stella Monica. You guys are old and out in the East Coast, and you got to go to sleep, so I get it.
Wow. I know I got a birthday coming up, but you don't got to put me out like that, like for real, for
real. Like we don't have any teeth and we're crawling off with a cane in a wheelchair.
You know what, Solo, now we going to have our own little party. How about that?
But I'm going to go rub some Bengay and listen to this rap. So, but if this...
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right, with that, he's about to freestyle on you, Solo. all right, you guys, over and out. Thank you guys so much again for being on the show. Love you guys.
Have a great one.
Guys, have a good night.
Thank you, you guys. Wow, what an awesome show tonight. I'm just so blessed, again, to have such great friends joining us tonight. And with that, I want to say that we have Lays coming in live on Miss Tammy TKO radio show. I believe he's on the line right there. Is that you, Lace? The 408?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. Happy to have you on here. So our topic tonight, I saw that have you been listening in tonight to the show?
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Well, you know, our topic has been about self-love, and I just wanted to ask you, you know, how important is that to you and what that means to you before we get into your music?
Oh, yeah. Self-love is very important. You know what I mean? You gotta love yourself, and if you love yourself, then, you know, you won't accept certain things that people throw at you, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and especially with, say, in the music business as well. I mean, you gotta if you don't love your music and your image and what you're doing, then who else will, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because it's your vision. You just got to bring it to light to everybody else.
That's right. That's right. So we met through music many years ago and have been able to perform together through the years. You know, tell our listeners how long you've been in the music business for.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Well, that first started when I was like 13, you know, in and out of groups and that stuff. And then just, you know, finally went solo and got my own company and stuff. And then just start releasing stuff under my label and stuff. But, yeah, definitely been in the game for a minute.
Nice. So how many, you know, songs do you have out there, and how can people find your music out there?
Oh, it's on all platforms, Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Shazam. So you just look me up on the Laze, L-A-Z-E. It's a, you know, it's a few Laze, but it's only one L-A-Z-E from San Jose. So you got to make sure it's no fingerprint behind it.
No Fingerprints is the name of the label, correct?
Yes. No Fanger, F-A-N-G-A. Instead of, you know, it's not like finger, it's Fanger. No fingerprint.
You got to put the twang on it from the Bay. You got to put the
exactly.
Hyphy on it. Bam.
Exactly.
So tell our listeners about what are the things that you generally, you know, write about in your songs? Like what moves you and what type of things do you write about?
Stuff that's going on and basically versatile. So I try to, like, make music for everybody, you know, the club, the streets, you know, people that's down and depressed, and, you know, try to make uplifting family songs, all the above. So it's not a lane, or, you know, they can just put me in because I'm, you know, I'm all over. You know, I can give you what you want, you know.
Nice. You know, so, you know, and you've shot some videos too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
How did you
can look them
up on YouTube?
Yeah, under Laze Music, No Fingerprint. And then I got a couple of accounts on there, but I'm just trying to merge them all to the Laze Music, No Fingerprint channel right now. You can catch other videos on Only One Laze One on YouTube as well. But I'm sending all the traffic to Laze Music, No Fingerprint Records. That's
nice.
How you find me.
Nice. So what are your next moves with music? I mean, I know it's got to be a challenge, you know, being, you know, during this pandemic, you know, trying to do shows and whatnot. What are your plans? What are your next steps?
Oh, the next thing is just keep hitting them with singles. You know, I got a, you know, albums and stuff where we could just, you know, keep slapping them with just fire singles, you know what I mean? And then when I feel they ready, you know, slap them with another album. But until then, just keep hitting them with singles.
Yeah. That's a great there. And, you know, and that's the cool, that's one of the good things about the pandemic is that it put a pause on the world. And so we're able to kind of, you know, be able to do more projects like that, you know, get into yourself and your head and what you want to write about. So that's been kind of a benefit because a lot of times we're out there, we're moving so fast that we don't get to do things like this. So it's probably been a good benefit for you to kind of hunker down and write, right? Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, my kids definitely, you know, keep me on my toes as well because, you know, I had to start thinking of lyrics, you know, of mine that they be rapping back and stuff. And, you know, all of them went good. So,
yeah,
you know,
it makes you second, you know.
Yeah.
So some of the lyrics, you know, that you might have had before, you might have to change it, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's going to be my, you know, next challenge to just, you know, keep the profanity off of there as much, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. So how can people follow you on social media? Before we get into the song, I want to know how people can follow you out there.
Everything is Laze Music, L-A-Z-E Music, Instagram, you know, Facebook, the other ones I need to get. I ain't really that, you know, social friendly, but, you know, nowadays you have to be. So, you know, I'm trying to step my game up on that.
That's right. So before we listen to your single, can you tell us a little bit about this song?
Yeah, it's just one, you know, it's called You Know It's Me. Basically, it's just, you know, letting them know, you know what I'm saying? When you see the guy or when you see something, you know, it's related to me. You know it's me. You know that. So,
I love it. You know, well, we look forward to hearing the song.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
produced by Prozac. Definitely.
I'm sorry?
I said it's produced by Prozac. Prozac, yeah. He's doing a lot of stuff nowadays, too. You know, he got a project with
nice.
Snoop and Cube, E-40 and Short, and they're coming out. So it's going to be a big year for him, too. Keep your ears open
for
that. Definitely. He's Palo Alto area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can hear it in the production. The production's ridiculous. So we look forward to that. Thank you so much for joining in tonight and calling in.
Thank you. Best of luck with your career.
Absolutely. And I look forward to being on a single with you as well. So let's get to this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, you can play the exclusive on your show. We're going to hit them with something.
I love it. Yep, I love it. So without further ado, y'all, let's listen to it. Here it is, You Know It's Me by Laze Music.
Prozac Music.
Hey, bro, we got another one, baby. You know how we do it. Never hate on the next motherfucker.
Nope.
All you got to do is work as hard as that motherfucker did to get what you want. You feel me? That's why I never hate on the next nigga. Whatever that nigga got, I can get to.
Pull up in the foreign, you know it's me. Bad bitches jumping out, you know it's me. Smoke in the air, you know it's me. And your bitch acting funny, you know it's me. Hey, you know it's me. You know it's me. Hey, you know it's me. You know it's me.
Wood grain polish on the dash lining. You can see it in your face, boy, I'm really shining. Wood grain on the steering wheel and handle, nigga. Leather seats for the overseas bitches. That's international, folks, not the money in my pocket. I'm rocking like a steam killer, vapor riding. Trippy sick as I pull out of public. Striking Captain D-line, I know they want this. A real team last name after Rick got three lines as a suffix. Playing shit, no need to diss. This is real pimpish and real playing is.
I'm hovering up on you, know it's me. Bad bitches jumping out, you know it's me. Smoke in the air, you know it's me. And your bitch acting funny, you know it's me. Hey, you know it's me. You know it's me. Hey, you know it's me. You know it's me.
It's 2 o'clock at Tupac, we gotta go. Let these motherfuckers know that we bout to blow. And any nigga won't beef, we bout to go. And I run up on any nigga, we gon' roll. You ain't gotta worry about a click coming after you, nigga. I click clack by myself. And I ain't even gotta get my other niggas involved. Over a motherfucking pussy, y'all don't want none of y'all. I'm in the mix like all this shit. I'm a real motherfucker, ain't no way in the bitch. All you motherfucking niggas straight pussy and shit. And y'all niggas really don't want this gangsta shit.
Pull up in the phone, you know it's me. Bad bitches jumping out, you know it's me. Smoke in the air, you know it's me. And your bitch acting funny, you know it's me. Hey, you know it's me. You know it's me, ayy. You know it's me. You know it's me.